This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a trivial pursuit of untold stories of Louisiana history, an entertaining look at the art of yet, or offerings off the beaten path, we've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. New acquisitions at the historic New Orleans Collection bring to light some obscure stories of Louisiana history. What you may find surprising in the exhibit, Something Old, Something New, is the trough of rich cultural stories found in ordinary, everyday items.
It's a chance for us at the Historic New Orleans Collection to show off some of the items that have come into the collection since 2000.
Co-curator Amanda McPhillan is excited by the artifacts that have come to the Historic New Orleans Collection over the past 12 years, either by donation or purchase. Items ranging from the everyday to the exotic that have a Louisiana backstory. The items are old, but new to the collection, hence the name Something Old, Something New, and many have never been on display. For example, a simple fork and spoon are elevated to objects of interest.
If you take a closer look at them, you'll see on the handle they have the name SS New York engraved on them. This fork and the spoon were a part of a set on board the steamship New York. The steamship New York was a boat that sailed from New Orleans to Galveston back and forth on a regular route in the early 19th century. In 1846, it was sailing to New Orleans. When it sailed directly into the path of a hurricane, it was blown to pieces and sank. Luckily, most of the crew and passengers actually survived by clinging to debris until they were rescued by a boat passing by the next day. Now, the wreck would have probably completely vanished from history, except for the fact that there was a small newspaper report about the accident and the wreck. It mentioned that on board the ship was a safe that had about $30,000 in gold and silver coin in it. And so in the mid-1990s, an amateur treasure hunter from New Iberia came across this newspaper article in the archives. He decided that he was going to go find this wreckage. He spent over the next 10 years looking for it. He eventually did find it and managed to salvage most of it. And we didn't get any of the gold or silver coin, but we did get the fork and the spoon. And so for me, it's something, it's a very ordinary object, but when you look at the backstory, it really brings this moment to life.
McPhillan says one of the most spectacular pieces in the exhibit is a circa 1840 portrait titled Creole in a Red Headdress.
Painted by a Belgian-born portrait painter named Jacques Amans. He came to New Orleans about 1820, stayed here for about 30 years, painted this portrait during the course of his career here. We have no idea who the sitter is. It is a mystery. It's a very beautiful sitter. She has a red turban on. She has a white shirt with a sleeve falling off. The only clue to her identity is initials ED on the sleeve. It's just a captivating, very personal portrait. And we're hoping that in the next few years, maybe we'll be able to uncover the identity of the sitter and learn more about her.
There are more mysteries to uncover as you search through treasures from the past. Who knew sheet music would reveal this bizarre story?
A sheet of song music in the collection, and it's called the Axeman Jazz. In 1918 to 1919, there was a serial killer here in New Orleans in the French Quarter who was, as the name Axeman goes, was attacking people with an axe. And it was a very scary time here, obviously. And then this really kind of odd incident happened where there was an anonymous letter written to the Times-Picayune that warned that the Axeman was going to attack again the following evening unless there was houses playing jazz music. The Axeman was very fond of jazz, and you know, he would stay away from houses that were playing jazz music. This is probably a hoax, but it certainly caused a lot of people to have jazz parties and play a lot of jazz music the next night just to make sure that this wouldn't happen. And because of that, a local composer, Joseph John DeVia, composed this sheet music called the Axeman Jazz, commemorating this incident.
You never know what stories may creep up from the past. The diversity of our state's rich culture is told through items ranging from photographs, jazz records, portraits, letters, journals, pottery, and scrapbooks. In the exhibit, Something Old, Something New, Collecting in the 21st Century. On view at the Historic New Orleans Collection, 533 Royal Street through February 8th, 2013. And speaking of our rich culture, WWNO's Fred Kasten, who produces The Sound of Books, explores the new volume from New Orleans poet and satirist Chris Champagne, The Yet Dictionary.
Can you accurately translate this sentence? Papa was cutting buttonholes on the banquet waiting for Mima to rinse the zinc and pass a mop over to Bakusa. Maybe you can translate that on your own. You definitely could with the help of the Yat Dictionary, newly compiled and introduced by Chris Champagne.
I guess I've become associated with Yat because I am one. But when I became a poet a few years ago, or at least became a poet where I went outside and told anybody I was a poet, I did a Yat poem, and it kind of struck a chord with a lot of people. And so I've done a few since then, and I've consolidated them into a performance piece that I've done like at poetry slams around the country, in fact. And it's interesting, when I ever do my Yat poem, it's kind of one of my most bombastic ones. It gets, and even if I'm in San Francisco or Chicago, I get a rise out of people, even though they don't know exactly what I'm saying, I don't think.
One of publisher Bill Lavender's friends had the idea for the Yat Dictionary, and Lavender, in turn, contacted Chris Champagne about putting it together. Yat, short for the once common Crescent City greeting, "Where you at?" is a New Orleans lingo and dialect that shares a lot phonetically with several New York and New Jersey accents. How this happened, nobody really knows. But Chris Champagne received a portion of his Yat inheritance via birthright.
It's funny because my mom and dad were New Orleans, but they weren't as yatty as I am, I don't think. I mean, there were a few things they would say. You know, like my daddy would say, my two favorite ones that my daddy would say, instead of saying bomb, he would say bum. Mm-hmm. Drop a bum on him. And the other one was, instead of saying giant, he would say giant.
Giant.
He was a giant. And my mother, she would say, the one that she would say, my mother. You hear that, mother?
Yeah.
My mother.
Or your mother.
my mother, you know. And she would say, for some reason, she would say turlet.
Chris Champagne mostly concentrates on definitions and usages in context in the Yat Dictionary, which includes 476 entries of Yat words or phrases. Phrases such as, God don't sleep.
I'd say about a third to a quarter of the entries, I kind of put a little anecdote about New Orleans or something about that. I tried to make it a little bit so it would be fun to read. And for God don't sleep, it was simple. I just put Yat comma. Because God don't sleep, baby.
Champagne hopes that the good humor he brings to the Yat Dictionary keeps his Yat comma, read karma, good.
I've been girding my loins.
Say that in Yat.
Yeah, grating my loins. My learns.
Learns.
Or something like that, you know, yeah. My learns. And like learn, yeah. And because it depends. There are different, it's like Pygmalion. Every, you know, neighborhood has a little variations. And I mean, I don't go into that because I mean, I'm not Rex Harrison or, you know, George Bernard Shaw. But although I will say this about my favorite quote, whenever I ask for a quote, is by Bernard Shaw. It's like, if you're going to make somebody, if you're going to tell somebody the truth, you better make them laugh or they'll kill you.
Chris Champagne searched online, in libraries, and through the work of numerous New Orleans writers to track down entries.
I would go to sleep at night. I'd put the light off and lay down. And I'd go, oh, no. And I'd think of three things from my past. And I had to get up, put the light on, write them down. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just kept every night, three or four or five, I'm thinking to myself, man, this is never going to end, you know. And and then I looked at my own writing. So I used myself as a reference.
Right.
And then I went back and looked at some sketches I had written for the gridiron. I used to have these Yat women, and I just kept finding things. And I mean, it's endless. I mean, you could go through the library, you could go through the dictionary, you could write every word almost, you know, mm-hmm. which is impossible. But I mean, I think that mine, though, has about four to five times as many or more listings than any other thing that I could find.
Still, he missed a few he hopes to include if there is a second edition.
I saw a gentleman yesterday, and he was a Seventh Ward guy, and he asked me, and somebody was showing him the dictionary, and he said he wanted to know if I had dough popping in there. And I said, no, I don't have that. And it's more of a Seventh Ward, I think, than a Yat thing. And dough popping is the old ladies in the neighborhood who open their doors and stick their head against the screen door to look at what's going on and stay inside. They indentations in the screen door from their head looking so much, you know. So I think that's a pretty good one. If there's a second edition, which I hope, I'm going to put that one in because I really like that one.
Chris Champagne, who compiled and wrote the introduction for the entertaining and informative new volume, The Yat Dictionary, for 89.9 WWNO. I'm Fred Caston.
Where's all the stores? Ain't there no more. Everybody cried on the live eyewitness news. Mackenzie's got closed down because the zinc was all mildewed. Well, they opened up again, but while I was in line, they all closed down.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. Across town, writer Ian McNulty explores offerings by the Takrima Center for Art and Culture. Could Namaste be replacing the familiar Hudat?
Twice a week, Charisse Williams walks just a few blocks from her home in the Lower Ninth Ward to attend yoga class at an old, rambling, one-time hardware store that has more recently become the Takrima Center for Art and Culture.
Yoga for me is like, just like my of the week. I'm like, oh, I get to go to yoga. I'm going to be so relaxed and so peaceful.
For her 9-year-old daughter, Fatima, the same center is a favorite spot for dance classes and other after-school enrichment.
She comes home and she's like, Mom, I learned how to do this. And Mom, I learned how to do that. And do you know that we have a garden? And, you know, like a couple weeks ago, she brought home radishes and lettuce and we made a salad. There's things that happen here that we actually bring into our home afterwards, which gives us, you know, a chance to interact and, you know, talk about what we did.
Yoga and a community garden are just a few examples of how the Takrima Center for Art and Culture reaches beyond the conventional notion of an art center. Takrima is a word from Ghana denoting growth and improvement. And although African-influenced arts remain the focus of the center, Takrima founder Greer Mendy says its programs have also expanded to encourage the growth and improvement of its neighbors in many ways, especially in the years since Hurricane Katrina.
We can't be everything to everyone, but what does it take to make a community whole? If the emphasis is just on your day-to-day living, then that can become very hard on your human spirit. So there's got to be a place where you're afforded some mental and emotional outlets. And that's what we hope to do here. That's what we hope to provide here.
Mendy also leads the Takrima Dance Theater, a troupe that performs at events around the city. And dance is a big part of the programming at Takrima. The center also brings to its neighborhood guest instructors for a variety of disciplines and performances by visiting artists. The underlying theme is to cultivate a sense of wellness and vibrancy for a community and to broaden the horizons of people who walk through the center's doors.
One goal for me is that when people leave here, they have the knowledge and the information to be able to sit in any class or to go anywhere and follow and understand, because that's what was given to me.
In addition to its own programming, Takrima is proving to be an incubator for other grassroots efforts. For instance, Charisse Williams is now starting her own mentoring program for teenage girls in the neighborhood. And after seeing the impact Takrima has made on her own family, she feels the center is the perfect place from which to run it.
We just really want them to understand the things that are important in life. And the young ladies that I have recruited to help these girls are amazing. They are amazing women, and I think that they could show young girls a lot. So I'm really excited.
Learn more about Takrima Center for Art and Culture at WWNO.org. For WWNO, I'm Ian McNulty.
The Community Impact Series with writer Ian McNulty is made possible with support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation. English designer, Camilla Franklin knows how to spin a yarn quite literally. She speaks with WWNO's Sharon Litwin, host of Notes from New Orleans, about her involvement in Louisiana's longstanding textile industry.
It's very fashionable these days to talk about the creative economy, those entrepreneurial cultural entities that actually make money or are complementary to those that already do. Think jewel case design for CDs, new web page creations, movie set design, and costume manufacturing. It's all stuff New Orleanians can do and are doing. Now there's a new one using the latest in cutting-edge digital technology. It's the brainchild of a local textile designer who can produce any kind of design on any kind of fabric anyone might want.
Basically, think about a desktop printer that's turned into a mammoth printer and at high speed and very reliable. I can print rolls of fabric up to 60 inches wide, but there are many types of digital printers out there. And also in production, my printer's relatively slow, but there are printers out there that can print 70 yards a minute. So they're very viable when it comes to production. And those tend to be in the European textile market in Italy and Turkey. And then there's a new one that's just been set up in Brazil.
That's Camilla Franklin. After graduating art school in England, she spent 5 years working for Burlington Industries in New York before coming to New Orleans in 1996 to join Blumenthal Printworks, staying there until its recent closure.
New Orleans historically was rivaled New York as far as all the businesses that were in New York were in New Orleans, including textiles, fashion, and bringing in the fabrics from Europe. There were several companies until very recently that functioned very well. But unfortunately, with the advent of China and no quotas, all the manufacturing's gone offshore very quickly. So it's nice to have that opportunity for the town coming back.
Now Camilla has customers all over the United States looking to her to produce specific fabric designs on their choice of silk or cotton or linen using environmentally friendly inks that can be washed or dry cleaned.
One of the benefits of having digital printing on the state side is the customization and that you don't have to have a minimum of 3,000 yards. You don't have to have thousands of yards on containers on the water. You can print a minimum of 1 or 2 yards with a custom design and a custom color match without any problem. One of the technologies I'm using is a spectrophotometer. So if you give me any kind of paint reference, I can measure it in using this little spectro and completely reproduce the color on the fabric.
Camilla could have started her business anywhere, but like so many in our creative economy, New Orleans is where she wanted to stay.
Well, originally I was born in Oxford, England, on a farm out in the Cotswolds, very idyllic. Never thought about being in the textile industry, but always was surrounded by textiles. I always sewed, knitted, everything I could think of to do with fabrics, never thinking it was a real job. And ended up in art school, and my tutor said, "Your colour sense is amazing. You've got to go out and find somewhere to do textile design." So that took me up to the north of England and Scotland. And then eventually I got hired by Burlington Industries in New York, and that's what brought me to America initially. Being a country girl, couldn't handle the New York hot and heavy all the time. Love to visit, but would be a crazy old lady if I'd stayed there. And then one of the reasons that I wanted to do this digital printing was that it enabled me to stay in New Orleans, because I just fell in love with the place and took my oath of allegiance in American and don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon.
To read more about Camilla Franklin and her new textile business, go to WWNO.org or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Well, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Yes, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat.
Sharon Litwin, host of Notes from New Orleans, is also the co-founder of NOLAVIE.com. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Save the date, January 7th. That's when the legendary two-time Tony Award-winning star of Evita and Gypsy, Patti LuPone, opens the new Broadway at Anoka concert series, anchored by Sirius XM radio host and pianist Seth Rudetsky. Conversation, laughter, and song will unfold as LuPone performs two shows, 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. in Lupin Hall at Anoka Riverfront, 2800 Charter Street, Monday, January 7th. More info online at BroadwayNOLA.com. On January 6th, the 5th Joan of Arc Parade walks the French Quarter, celebrating the unofficial patron saint of New Orleans' 601st birthday. The medieval-themed walking parade begins at the Bienville statue at Conti and Decatur Streets and ends near the Joan of Arc statue. You'll find Joans on horseback, hand throws, and a king cake party. Festivities begin at 6 p.m. Sunday, January 6th. More info at joanofarcparade.com. And tonight is the last time to see Celebration in the Oaks this year. There are new exhibits and surprises as you walk through millions of twinkling lights in City Park's Botanical Garden, the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park, and Storyland. Open from 6 until 10 p.m. More info at celebrationintheoaks.com. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our show is archived at WWNO.org. Wishing you a safe and happy New Year. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.